Do something to make the world awesome. That's what we were made to do. We were made to make the world a little less boring and a little more awesome. So what are you going to do? What's your space jam? What are you going to do to make the world a better place? I'm so excited about being here this morning. I couldn't wait. My heart's been pounding for a couple of days as God has been sharing with me what we can unveil about Him today. And it was so great last night. It was great this morning in our other service. And I just can't wait, because what are you going to do to help make your world a little more awesome? And if a kid can get it in a pep talk, well, then let's go. It's time for a pep talk. I said to my wife, it's funny when I pray and I say to God, okay, God, show me how to make this sermon real. Show me about our topic today, no pain, no gain. You really need to be careful when you ask God to show you things, because He does. And I asked Him to show me, and He did. I said, God, show me about this no pain, no gain. Bad idea. You got to be careful. God, show me about patience. No, don't show me about patience. And then I'm praying about, God, show me about pain. So this week, my wife's been teaching aerobics course for a few weeks. Some of you in that aerobics course. So this week, my wife says, why don't you come on out? So she's been asking me for a few weeks. I said, I don't need to do that. So Friday's my day off. I thought, you know, I could go and then go back home and shower, and instead of having to do that, go back home and come back to work. I'll come out this one day. I've heard there are some guys that go out there. I mean, if there are some guys that do it, how hard can it be? And I heard there was a wrestler guy that came out, and afterwards he was kind of like, oh, and he hasn't been back since, but it's all right. You know who you are. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go give this thing a try. So I got here, and there we go. You know, the video starts, and everybody's getting ready, and we're going through the stuff, and we're doing lunges and squats and this and that and push-ups, and we're kind of doing these things. We're stretching right, stretching left. We're doing this. 12 minutes go by. I'm kind of a little bit out of breath, and I've kind of worked up a little bit. I'm warmer more than I am sweaty. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that wasn't so bad. And they go, okay, we're done with the warm-ups. What? Yeah, the exercise is 24 minutes long. And the whole time, I'm talking to one of the other guys in there, and we're doing this stuff, and we're just jibber-jabbering and just kind of going along. We start doing the exercise routine. And about halfway through, I hear a couple of ladies going, Pastor, you're awful quiet. You're not talking so much anymore. I'm thinking, I'm trying to get my breath is what I'm trying to do. I can't breathe. And we're doing this stuff. And we got done after 24 more minutes. And I'm thinking, okay, I've worked up a sweat. Now I'm really feeling it. And I thought, it wasn't terribly bad, but I've definitely had a workout. And we got done. And not so bad. Went home, had, you know, make something healthy, feeling good, right? Feeling healthy. So, you know, make something good instead of stopping by McDonald's for, you know, some burrito breakfast sandwiches. Felt good. 24 hours go by. I woke up yesterday morning and tried to get out of bed. I went, oh, you know, it wasn't anything while I was laying there sleeping. But then when I got up and my legs went to hit the floor, I went, oh, legs, oh. And then I went to sit, and I went, oh, gluteus, oh. And that's not a Roman soldier. And then 24 hours, I'm thinking, I am sore. And then 48 hours, I woke up this morning. And I went, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I'm feeling it today. I've got muscles that hurt that I didn't even know my body had. I'm thinking to myself, and you know what? These are muscles I pay no attention to in my life, but now they are number one in my life right now. They are the top of the list, going, hey, remember us? I thought, I didn't even know you lived in the house. And now they are getting full attention. It wasn't until I exercised them in a way that I don't exercise that I realized I've got areas that hurt that I didn't know I even had. And I thought about that. I thought, okay, God, got the point. And here it is. We have areas of faith in our life that we don't even know we have, and they're not even there until we exercise them. And then the minute we start exercising them, we start exercising ways that we've never done in our faith. And all of a sudden we go, that hurts. But I've just discovered I've got muscles in my faith I never even knew I had. And they just moved to number one. Wow, good. Sermon's done. Let's go home. Some of you are like, really? Can we go? Hold on a minute. That was so incredible. I am honestly sore, but I know this, that in my fat, and that's what's happening, it's split and muscles growing in there, and that's the pain. No pain, no gain. And I know to get muscle, it takes getting rid of some stuff I don't need. And I know in my own faith, to get great faith, I got to have some things kind of split up in my life and have things grow into areas so I can have strength that I need. Does this make sense? Are you with me? Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Because James said, consider, hey guys, consider. Now, he didn't say think about it. That's not what consider means. He said consider. It's a Greek word, hagasathe. Hagasathe is not something you're ever going to know. You're probably going to go, I don't even know how to say it. I don't know how to spell it, but it's hagasathe. For those of you taking notes, that's an H-E-G-E-S-A-T-H-E. Hagasathe. It means I command you, and he says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Now, how many of you are thinking in your mind, well, that sounds great. My tire's flat. My job just cut back. My relationships. Well, consider that pure joy. He didn't say think about, well, I'll think about being happy. It's not what he said. He said consider. It's a commandment. Hagasathi. It means this. Let every thought you have in your life be pure joy. How do you do that? It didn't say you don't have to cry. It said have joy. It didn't say when you go through pain and the suffering, you don't have joy. It said, or you don't cry. You do cry. There's pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. You might have pain in the evening, but I want you to know, tomorrow is a brand new day. It might hurt to lift those weights, but tomorrow is going to be brand new. I want you to know that it's going to get better if you let God work in you and do that. I tried to show off one time in Alabama. My wife was back home. It was early on. I mean, this is a long, long time ago, like 16, 17 years ago. And I had a guy in my church. It was a bodybuilder. He was huge. He had to have special made shirts because he was so large. He was a real estate agent and couldn't wear regular suits. Now, that's not an issue for me. I mean, I can find stuff anywhere, big and tall, JCPenney's. I mean, I can find shirts. This guy had the special makeup. My wife is gone. I borrowed a car from someone in my church because the only vehicle we had went north. And we were living in Alabama. And it was a stick shift, one of these little foreign job stick shifts. And we go to the gym to work out, Muscles Gym. And there we go. He's like, okay, Pastor, here we go. And we go to work out. The problem with that is I didn't work out. And he gets there and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. We start lifting weights. And we start lifting these weights and we're doing this stuff. And I mean, we're doing curls and barbells. He's like, all right, Pastor. And I'm being a guy. I'm not about to say, well, I can't do that. If you, anything you can do? So I'm lifting the weights. I'm lifting the weights. I'm doing this stuff. My body is hurting. My arms feel like rubber. My legs are just shaking. And we get done. I'm thinking, I kept up with it. Woo! He goes, that's good. That's good. We're done. I said, that's good. Wow. What a workout for the last half hour. I don't think I've ever done anything like that. Never since, never before have I ever done. And he says, that's good, Pastor. We're done with the first set. I'm sorry. You guys know this. You do three reps. You do three sets of this stuff. And he goes, all right, we'll take a minute, get some water. We're going to do set number two. And I'm like, at that moment, I could have been a human being and said, I'm done. Oh, no, but pride rose up inside of me. I'm a man. Set number two. We went through set number two. I am so done and drenched, and everything in my body hurts so bad, I don't think I can move. And then we go into set number three. We finish set number three. He's like, thanks, Pastor. I'm like, yeah, see you church Sunday in a couple of days. I'm not kidding. I got out to the car. I got the key in the car. This is God's honest truth. I'm not preaching to you. I'm telling you the truth. I reached in there. I got the door open. I got into this little Corolla, Toyota Corolla. I sat down and I said, I can't lift my arm. I can't get it in the ignition. My arms were so done. I was so spent. I didn't have a cell phone. This is this is when they had the cell phones, you know, with the boxes you carried with the battery. I didn't have one of those. I couldn't afford those $500 things. So I'm sitting in my car. My wife is up north. I got nobody. I'm sitting in the car going, I'm stuck at Muscle's Gym. I've got to get the car started. I got the key in the ignition and started it. It's a clutch. Really? I'm sorry. I got that foot on the clutch. Now I'm thinking to myself, I've got to take it off the clutch. Now Birmingham, Alabama is built on a couple of mountains. I live 5 miles away. Stop signs, which means clutching. Problem number two. I got the car started. I got my foot on the clutch. I have my toe on a brake. Toe to brake, toe to gas. Toe to brake, toe to gas. Toe to brake, toe to gas. I'm in trouble. That's all I can do. I look down at the stick shift. I get my hand up on the steering wheel. I can grip. I literally am so spent. I'm telling everything in my body, lift the arm. And I'd like to tell you, I'm just joking. I couldn't get my arm, my elbow, and my arm and my shoulder blade up to grab the stick shift. I'm like, I went down, I bent down. This is God's truth. I grabbed my collar and with my teeth, and I got it to the stick shift. I said, all right, we're good. First gear. Now, foot off a brake, going to this. My foot's just coming off the clutch. There's no way I'm lifting my knee. And so I got my other hand there trying to help out. Now I'm in first gear. Now I've got this hand. I get it up there. And I'm thinking, okay, I got this hand can grip. That's going to help clutch. There's no way while I'm driving I'm touching that shifting knob. It's just not going to happen on God's earth. Unless there's an angel that's going to drive with me, that's staying there. I went home for the next 15 to 20 minutes through the entire city in first gear. To the highway, to the stop sign, from the stop sign. People are going by me screaming and honking. And I'm like, people are going by me telling me I'm number one. And they're just having a great time. They're honking, calling me. They were Christians because they were talking about Jesus this and Jesus that. And God bless you. And I'm like, man, I didn't know there were so many Christians in this city. And I get home, I get into my room, Sunday morning comes, I get up to preach, I can't move a muscle. I'm sore today. On that day, I was beyond sore. I was in a mode, the guy comes in, he goes, how you doing, Pastor? I said, I hate you. I don't know if that's biblical, but I just have to tell you, humanly, I can't even believe you're here this morning. You know what you did to me. I can't move. I'm preaching in the pulpit. Hello, good morning, everyone. I am so sore. For 2 days, I'm incognito. I overdid it, but I realized this. When I was done, I had muscles developing. Did I stay with it? Nope. And you know what happened? You know where it went. So this morning, when we talk about no pain, no gain, some of you have not exercised in faith. You're like, I'm not going there. If I start getting in with God so far, like Jackie shared this morning, say, God, I don't even know what you're going to do. I don't even know why I'm in Kenya today, but here I am. I'm going to take 2 hours today just to say, what are you doing? 2 hours, I'm going to work out with you. And so here it is, our workout, God unveiled. Let him work in your spirit so much more that you find it's hurting, but tomorrow you're going to find faith that you never knew you even had. And so here it is. Let's unveil today what God has for us. This is awesome. Oh, yeah. That's right. And I need a volunteer. Wait, it's church. You don't do that in church. Oh, yes, we do. So I need someone who's going to help me out this morning. I need a volunteer. I see a lot of guys volunteering. I see one guy who's not volunteering. He's sitting right there. Can you come up here, Dave? Can you help me out? Why not pick the strong, the big, Hoss? What, this is from Bonanza, this is Hoss. Or the big, Dave, how are you?
Nice.
Are you excited?
Oh,
Thank you. Thank you. Come on over here for just a second. Would you do me a favor? Would you grab those two dumbbells right there? Would you just, I don't know why they call them dumbbells, but would you just start curling those for me? And just slowly. Now, this is a guy, honestly, I've known Dave for a lot of years. In fact, back when I started out here about 15, 16 years ago, Dave was in my youth program. He had just graduated, but he was in my box. We called him Cornbread, because in Nebraska, you know, and what a great guy. And how many do I want you to do? I don't know. I've got like 20 more minutes yet, so I think we're pretty good. Why don't you go ahead and just set those on the floor. Just drop them down there. Can you do me a favor? Could you step around here for just a second? I'm just going to pull this out. Would you step behind there? Would you do me a favor? Would you? That's just a barbell there. Weighs about 100 pounds. Would you do me a favor? Would you just curl that a couple times for me? Look at that. That's pretty good. You've done better than most of the guys and all the others. He's like, ah, this is candy. Yeah, keep going. I got lots of time. I didn't really write a sermon this morning, so I've got to fill the time with something. How you doing?
All right.
How's your family?
Wonderful.
Dave's got a couple of kids, his wife, wonderful family. Works with the Awanas program. Okay, hold on. Do me a favor. You're doing what we call the concentric lift. Ooh. Concentric, that's the positive. That's pulling up. But do me a favor. We're going to do the eccentric. And that's, I want you to come up, and then I want you to count like 10 counts going down. If you could do that for me, just go ahead and do that. And then just nice and slowly, just begin to lower it. So what's happening in his life right now? You all right? Yeah, just do like 30 or 40 of those. Keep going. Is it getting heavy at all? Like the kids. You probably do this with your kids all the time, lifting them up. Just five more, six more. What happens in our lives is God brings these things into our lives, and we love the positive. We love the concentric lift. But what's happening? Was that a wheeze?
Probably, because I'm getting over pneumonia.
Oh, set that down. Set that down. You're sweating. Yeah. Give him a hand. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Woo. No, white. Just a little sweat. You sweat that pneumonia out, that'll be good for you. That's a good thing. That's good to know. So there was Dave. Concentrically, it was like everybody's like, look at that. He's just it's like a fly. He's just lifting that thing right up. But then when I said do the eccentric one, let it down. In weightlifting, it's known as the eccentric, or in weightlifting, it's known as getting the negative. It is. And you know what's amazing about getting the negative in your life? They say it builds muscle stronger and faster at a rapid rate. It is actually the best thing in weightlifting, not the positive, but the negative. Isn't that interesting? The best thing in your life to build muscle is the negative. Isn't that ironic? It's easier to do the positive, but it's greater to do the negative. They say it attaches and puts together and bonds in a strong way your ligaments and tendons by doing the eccentric. It's even greater than. I find that interesting, that we, in our Christian life, first and foremost, what we learn is consider it pure joy, because we ought to thank God for the negative in our lives. Wow. That's brand new. Welcome to church on Sunday morning. Did you just say thank God for the negative? I said thank God for the negative. I didn't say you had to be happy about it, but I said consider it pure joy when negative things happen to you. When the car breaks down, you can have joy. Why do you have joy? Wait a minute. How can I have joy when negative things happen? Because here it is. You can have joy in the morning because guess what? Sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, pain might be for a moment, and suffering might be for a moment. Look at Job. Job 1:21. This poor guy, he's lost his job, he's lost his livestock, he's lost his health, he's lost his children, and his wife. Guys, if you're married to a woman like this, bless your heart. His wife looks at him, he's sick, and she's going, I wish you'd curse God and die. That's like having the flu, and your wife looks at you and you say, why don't you get up and go to work? I'm sick. I wish you'd just die. Well, that's a great marriage. Job in all of this could have been upset. And what does he say? He says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name. Didn't we just sing that? May the Lord be praised. Thank you. May the Lord be praised. Listen, how do I praise God in it? Here's how I praise God. I know something that most people don't. What is it? You might be losing in the second quarter. Your job may not be going well. Your car may be a Michigan car and it's rusting right out. You may not have everything going today, but guess what? Tomorrow, if you keep going through it, tomorrow is going to be better. Because God's in your life. I know something about God. And what do I know about God? My house is falling apart today. My car is falling apart today. But I know this, that God is preparing me something better. God is preparing me something better. You see, we curse God for things like this. We get this in our lives and we're like, oh, wow. Oh, what in the world? Why are these weights in my life, God? Now curl them. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Keep curling them. How long till I say so? Thank you, God, for these weights in my life. What? Yeah, those are heavy. Those are 20 pounds. That's like holding two babies in each arm. And God goes, don't curse me in this. Bless me in this. Why? Because that is building you up to something greater. How does God build us up? Let me just run you through this. In 1986, a cosmonaut for Russia flew into outer space for 326 days. He came back and he was great. Why was he great? Because they learned something 5 years before when Russia sent two cosmonauts up in 1983. In 1983, these guys went for 211 days into the stars. They were in the heavens, zero gravity, 211 days. They came back, they got them off the spaceship. Problem. They couldn't walk. They were having heart palpitations. They were almost dead. What they found in zero gravity is that their heart, the strongest muscle, had diminished. They had atrophy in all of their muscles. These men couldn't walk for a week. They couldn't stand up on their feet for a week. It took them 30 days just to learn how to walk and build their muscles up. It took months to get their hearts back, to get them right so they were healthy. What did they find? Without resistance. So they came together and they invented something called a penguin suit. A penguin suit is this kind of this under armor that has all these elastic bands in it, and it causes resistance on a regular basis. And what they found is in a zero gravity atmosphere where there's no resistance, you have atrophy and your muscles deteriorate. What I found is in my faith with God, when I have no resistance to my faith in God, I have zero results in my faith. So don't curse the negative. God is bringing resistance so that you can be stronger and so your heart can be better and so you can love one another. The second thing is this. I find people, they're walking in their faith and they'll say, Pastor, I was walking in my faith and man, the devil almost tripped me. I walked and went, whoa. Where'd that come? Oh, the devil, he put that in my way. I see what's going on. He tried to trip me up with that trial, that test, that tribulation. Whew, I got by that. A week later, they're walking along. I say, Pastor, man, the devil just keeps bringing this into my life. And I said, wait. The devil brought it in your life? Well, yeah, how do you know that? Well, it was a trial. It was a pothole. It was a breakdown. It was this. How do you know that God didn't bring it into your life? What do you mean? Consider pure joy, my brothers, in the testing of your faith. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. Never miss, never pass up a good workout. And I say to people, listen, when things come in my life, I know who's in my life. Jesus Christ is in charge of my life. Psalm 139 says, every single one of my days were written in the book before one came to pass. Jesus, I've given you my life, and I see this trial. I'm going to take a seat, and I'm going to work out because I don't want to pass and miss out on a good workout. And so I'm going to work out, and I'm going to work out. Now, am I happy in the workout? No, I'm not happy in the workout. Am I going, this is so great? The Bible never says God promises you happiness. I don't know who said that, but they lied to you. The word happiness comes from the word happenings. And happenings is a word about what's happening to you. And not all good things happen to you. So how can you always have happiness? But joy is what happens in you. And no one can take that away. See, God's more concerned with what happens in you than what happens to you. Well, God, why do you keep taking me in the deep end? I think God keeps putting me in the deep end of life to drown me. No, he's putting you in the deep end to cleanse you. That's why it's so deep in your life. And so God says, keep lifting. Oh, boy, these do get heavy after a few seconds. And God says, keep lifting. You see, I know something. I know something that God is going to change things. So I know that I'm going to keep lifting, and I'm going to keep lifting, and I'm never going to miss an opportunity because God has taken me to a place that one day I come to the edge of a cliff, and I hear someone saying, help, help me. And I look down, I go, oh, hey, sorry, I can't help. I kept skipping the test at this time in my life. I'm not strong enough to help you. I don't think I have what it takes. I'm not sure I can counsel with you, listen to you. I'm not even sure I can lift you up. But those who go through the test are getting stronger and stronger, muscles you never thought you had. You get to this moment, you reach down, they say, help, and you grab them, and you pick me, go, well, I wonder where that came from. Where did that faith, where did that courage, where did those words come from? It's because I didn't skip my workouts. God is perfecting you. And then the final one, and I actually have this written down in my Bible, is this. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. You know, so many people want to just go, oh, I did it once, and God brings it back. It's like, listen, he brings it back, go ahead and lift that thing up. I mean, go ahead and... That is kind of heavy. Okay. I'm going to do this tomorrow. You can lift it up and say, you know what? It may not be easy, and we want to walk away. And God says, no, no, no. Go back there. I'm going to keep bringing it up in your life until you get it. Because I'm trying to make you stronger for tomorrow. And so you go over and you grab it. And you go, okay, I can do this. And you lift it, and God says, good job. And then you say, but what? He says, let it go. How long? Oh, I don't know, Joseph. I gave you a dream. I gave you this dream and coat of many colors, Joseph, that you'd be a ruler of a great nation. How long? 13 years in prison. Are you kidding me? 13 years? I'm going to go through this? Yeah, because you snotty little boy. You little snot-nosed, braggadocious little boy. You little punk kid that every time your brothers did something, you ran home to mommy and daddy and you told on your other 11 brothers and sisters. Talk about, you go, I thought it was only in our family. No, the 12 tribes of Israel. He'd go home and tell on Benjamin. He'd go home and tell on Dan and Gad and Levi and Reuben. And they hated him because he was a punky, snot-nosed little brat that liked to get his brothers in trouble. And then he bragged and said, hey, I saw a dream where 11 stars bow down to me, and these 11 stars bow down to me. And then I saw the moon and the sun bow down. And they're all like, oh, is that mom? He wasn't in a place yet where God could use him. You see, God had a plan for his life that in 14 years, he was going to be the second in command of all of Egypt and save a group of people. You see, he had to go through 13 years in a jail before he was ready to be used by God. I don't know how long God's taken you through it, but trust him. Keep on keeping on. And you say, but I'm going through this. You know something? I know what you're going through. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, I know what you're going through. Listen, deaths in the family, sicknesses, cancer, your family members going through things. Listen, we've been there. We have been there. I've seen my mother-in-law lie there with ALS, trapped in her body for month after month. I saw my mom just recently go through chemo treatment. I buried my niece. I buried my sister. I've done those things. Don't tell me you've been through it. You see, and I couldn't have got through those trials. Why? And God said, keep lifting, because one day someone's going to say, can you pray with me? Can you sit with me? And I could say, I didn't think I was strong enough to go through this when you had to bury your baby, but I want you to know I've been there, and I can reach down, and I can take a hold. And God says, where did that strength come from? It's because I know something, that sorrow lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I know the rest of the story. It's the second quarter, and you think think you're losing. You think your family's losing. You think your team is losing. It's the second quarter, but there's four quarters in the game. And I got good news for you. I know something. I know the score at the end of the game. I've read it. It's in Revelations, and we win. I know I don't lose. I know I win. And so, how do I go through these things? How do I keep lifting? I know this, that tomorrow I'm going to be stronger. And the next day I'm going to be stronger. Maybe I'm not strong enough today, but tomorrow I will be, because I know this, that no matter what sickness gets me, Jesus Christ said, I got this. I'm your healer and redeemer. No matter what my house looks like, I know Jesus says, I got this too. I got a mansion for you in glory. I got streets. I got streets that I pave with gold. You buy it for $2,400 an ounce. I got tons of it, and it's pavement up here. I've got a mansion for you. I got a river flowing down the center of the street. And on each side are trees with fruit trees, and they taste like you have never known. And you can eat from them. And oh, by the way, here is the tree of life. You will never die. You will never get sick. There'll never be sorrow. I've got this covered. See, it may be the second quarter, and this hurts. But you know what? That just pales in comparison with what I'm going to look like in the future and what God has for me. I want you to know, if you believe anything in your faith, you ought to believe everything in your faith, because it will sustain you and keep you. You will have potholes. By the time you leave here, you might even get a flat tire in one of them. You might have a job change, and you live in Michigan and everything's changing. We don't know what war is going like, and North Korea is declaring war this past weekend on the whole world, and who knows what that's going to look like. And everybody starts getting sideways, and God says, not a problem. I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. Just keep lifting those weights. Keep trusting me in your faith. Keep exercising your faith. I know who wins. And listen, the day's coming. The day is coming. The day is coming. When Jesus Christ says, I've got this, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise, and Jesus will come with all of his saints in the air, and all the angels with him, and the archangel Michael, and the archangel Gabriel is going to have a trumpet in his mouth. He's going to make one loud blast, and the Bible says, every knee on earth shall bow, and every tongue on earth, and I don't care if that's multimedia, Facebook, Google, but the whole world, it says every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he'll be riding on a white stallion. And on his robe, on the train of his robe, it will say, King of Kings. It will say, Lord of Lords. He came on a donkey. He's returning on a stallion. He came as a bondservant. He's coming as a king. He came to redeem us, and he's going to resurrect us. He is the author, and he is the perfecter of my life. I know something. And here's what I know. The mountains in my life might be in my life, but they can never get bigger. They can never get stronger, but I can. You got things in your life that you're trying to get rid of? Today you might not be strong enough to say like Jesus when he looked at his disciples and says, hey guys, if you have faith, you can say to that mountain right there, be picked up and thrown into the sea. Could you imagine him going, that's a big mountain. Maybe not today, Peter. Maybe not tomorrow. But next week, keep lifting. That mountain will never get any bigger, but you will. True story, Mount Everest, tallest place on planet Earth, 28,028 feet to the top. I don't know who got the measuring stick and went up there to measure that. 28,028 feet. For every team that goes up there of eight people, one person dies. And in 1928, a group of expeditionists from Europe decided they were going to climb this. They went, they tried it. Two of them were never seen again. They didn't make it to the top. The survivors came down and told the story. We lost them. We have no idea what happened to them. The mountain has claimed two more lives. Months go by, and this group of survivors, these five men, decide they're going to do it again. They go and try again with another team. They don't lose anybody, but they don't make it to the top of the mountain. The mountain just has a life of its own. The weather changed. They didn't get there. They're in London sharing their story with the press. 1900s, early 1900s. There's a photographer down here for the London Times taking pictures. And I don't know why, but one of the guys sharing the story of his attempts at this Mount Everest said this. He looks right at the camera and he says, Everest! Everest! Once! Once you conquered us and were too much, and two men died. Everest, twice you conquered us and we could not climb you. But Everest, we will conquer you because you can never get any stronger and we can. And they finally went back and they climbed that mountain and they conquered it. I don't know what addiction, I don't know what situation is in your life, but it can never, ever change in the sense of getting stronger. But you, through the power of God, greater is he that is in me than he that will ever be in the world. I can always get stronger. So I encourage you today, don't pass up a good workout opportunity. Don't curse the negative. Bless God for the negative. And folks, keep on keeping on. Let's stand and pray.